Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Today's daf is Bambasra, daf Chav Gimel. We left off in daf Chav Beis Amin Beis. We are at the Gemara right after the Mishnah on daf Chav Beis Amin Beis. This year is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bar Simcha, Alei Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Asacha for our soldiers and for our captives. And it's also sponsored Luzchus Refuah Shleima for Henya Toiba Halel Basiafa Fredel, a young girl who's going through heart surgery right now. She should have Refuah Shleima B'soch Shar Chole Israel. And we thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. We already read the Mishnah yesterday about how far to leave the ladder from the Shovach in order to avoid an animal jumping up and damaging all of the birds, and how far to keep the wall from the gutter. So the Gemara is going to, in discussing this Mishnah, we're going to talk about Grumma ben Nezikin, and we're also going to talk about whether there's such a thing as a chazakah for Nezek, that I have a chazakah, that I've been doing damage for all this time, so I should be able to continue to have that same type of damage happening. Then the Gemara is going to, the Mishnah rather, is going to talk about the spacing around the Shovach, that if you're going to have a Shovach, you're going to have a nest, so you have to keep in mind, your birds need to eat, so if they're going to be eating from other people's properties, that's going to be a problem, and other issues relating to spacing around a Shovach. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how far birds are assumed to fly so that they won't steal, and also so that hunters who put out nets aren't going to be stealing other people's birds, right? So how far the hunters have to be from the Shovchim. And the Gemara is then going to discuss the concept of Toanin Lokeach and Toanin Liyoresh. Sometimes a person could have a Taina, but they're a Lokeach. They don't know what the whole history was, or they're a Yoresh. They don't know what the whole history was. So does Beis Din make a Taina on behalf of a Lokeach or a Yoresh? Then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to talk about what happens if you find a bird. How do you figure out who that bird belongs to if you found a bird on the ground? The Gemara is going to discuss begin the sugya of rov vikarov, that if one indicator is based on rov and the other indicator is based on what is closest, so which indicator is a more powerful indicator? The Gemara is going to have four rayas in terms of rov vikarov. Only the first three are in today's daf, the fourth one is going to be in tomorrow's daf, in terms of figuring out which of those is a more powerful indicator of what's what. So let's begin with the Gemara on the bottom of daf chaf beis amud beis. So says Gemara, lein masis nedolak Rabbi Yossi. Our Mishnah seems to be against Rabbi Yossi. If it's going like Rabbi Yossi, then it would not have been mechayev one to distance the ladder from the Shovach at all, because Ha'amar, Rabbi Yossi himself, is going to say, we didn't come across it yet, it's going to be on Chafei Beis, that a person is allowed to plant a tree in his own chatzer next to someone else's bar. Aye, but you know that the roots of your tree are going to encroach into his bar and is going to damage his bar, and his bar is going to fall apart because of your tree. Yeah, Zechov from Rabbi Yossi says, you can do whatever you want, your own property. Whatever happens to your neighbor's property, that's not your problem. So even though Nezek is going to come about because of how you're behaving in your own property, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not a problem. So according to Rabbi Yossi, it's the Nezek's responsibility to make sure that he doesn't get damaged. And therefore, a person should not have to distance his ladder from his friend's wall. Bala Shovach be separate his Shovach from the Kosel. So says the Gemara, no, Filatim Rabbi Yossi. Our Mishnah might even be assuming like Rabbi Yossi. Hamar Ravashi, because didn't Ravashi explain, Ki Avin Be Rav Kana Hava Omar, when I was in Rav Kana's yeshiva, he used to say, Modi Rabbi Yossi, Bikiri Tidei, that even Rabbi Yossi says you can do whatever you want in your own property. You certainly can't shoot a gun from your own property into a neighboring property. You certainly can't shoot arrows from your own property into someone else's property. So that which is causing immediate and imminent damage that comes right away, that's certainly something that is your responsibility. So Achanami over here also, when you put the ladder right next to the Shovach, the Nezek could happen immediately, because it won't necessarily happen immediately, but Zimnit Bahadi de Manach Le Yasva Bechor VeKavtza. Sometimes it might happen that the moment you put the ladder there, the weasel or whatever it is that's going to do the damage will be waiting in a hole and will jump right out of the hole, right up on the ladder, and go and start ripping apart the birds. So since it could be immediate, that's called Girei Didei, and therefore even Rabbi Yossi would say that you're going to be chayiv. Says him, really? Chayiv for such a thing? Vagramahu. When you put the ladder there, it's very indirect that an animal then comes and jumps on the ladder and attacks the birds. The halacha is Grama Benazik Mishkan is Pater, so why would we be Mechayev you to be Marchik your Sulam from the Kosel on account of the damage that it's going to do? Even if it does damage, you're going to be Pater from paying for that damage. Tosfos wonders why the Gemara only asks this question now. We could have asked this question on the previous Mishnah where we said that a person has to be Marchik his Kosel from Kosel Chavero in order that the passersby should be able to trample on the ground and strengthen the foundations of the wall. So why do you have to do that? After all, even if you put your wall right next to Kosel Chavero and no one's able to pass by, you're not damaging anything b'yadayim. It's at worst grama. So Tosfos leaves that as a tzarachin as to why we waited till this point to ask that none of this seems like real damage. It all seems like very indirect grama. Either way, Amar Avtuvi Bar Masda Zosomeres grama b'nezikin Usser. We're used to the concept of Grumman Zikin Pater, and that is in fact true. It's not something that you can force a guy to pay for, but Grumman Zikin is still Usser, even though it's Pater. So that's why you need to be Marchik the Sulam. Rav Yosef Havalei Hanu Talei. Rav Yosef had certain small decal trees, Tahavu Asu Umne Viasu Tusayu, and bloodletters came and sat underneath these palm trees. Vasu Arve Achli Dama, and these ravens came and ate the blood that he was dealing with. Vesalkia Beitaliu Mafsidi Tamri, and they went up and they sat on the decal trees and they ruined all of the dates. Samla Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Afikuli Kurkur Mehacha, get the kurkur out of here. Get the ravens that make such a sound. Kurkur, right? That's the sound the ravens make. What do they call it? Onomatopoeia, is that right? When you have an English word that is really a sound, it's a mimicking. There's a word for that. What? Yeah, I was right. Onomatopoeia. Okay. So that's an onomatopoeia here in the Gemara. So he said, get the kur out of here. Stop bloodletting under the trees. It's causing such damage. So it's only indirect. These bloodletters are not doing anything to your dates. They're just doing bloodletting, and the ravens are coming and doing the rest. So Rav Yosef said back, I know that it's grama, and I know that grama's potter. That makes matters even worse, because now not only are you ruining my dates, I can't even sue you for it. So grama ben Ezekin is aser. You're not allowed to do a grama ben Ezekin. But aren't they muchzuk already, that they were always bloodletting in that area? So don't they have a chazaka that they may continue to do so? So Rav Nachman, Rav Barvua, ein chazak l'nezikin. There is no chazaka when it comes to hezik. Even if you're muchzuk to damage, you wake up every morning, you say good morning to your next door neighbor, and you punch him in the face. So you do it every morning, you're still not allowed to do it, right? Meaning a grama b'nezikin, even if it's potter, it's still going to be, even if you do it every day, any type of nezek, even if you do it every day, it's still also to do that hezek. So, frankly, Gemara v'lavit marala, Rav Mari Amar b'kutra, Rav Zid Amar v'beisaki. Say, but wait, didn't we say in the base measure that the only time we say that you cannot develop a chazaka in nezikin is when it's the most intolerable kinds of nezek, like it's smoke nezek. The poskim use this Gemara, by the way, when they talk about secondhand smoke. That you have people in a base medrash. It used to be that there were bate medrash that allowed smoking in the base medrash. Now, in some yeshivas, they're still smoking outside in the base medrash, but I don't think any of them, at least not in America, I don't think any of them allow smoking in the base medrash. I haven't been to every yeshiva in America, but most of the time, they don't allow smoking in the base medrash, but it used to be that their fights would break out. I can't breathe because of the smoke, this guy's smoking. So that's considered something that's intolerable type of nezek. So you cannot develop a chazaka on Ashan, and Rav Zid said a beis akis that the nezek caused by being sovel a beis akise is also something that even if I didn't make a macha in the past, you do not have a chazaka. But it sounds like anything less than that, you can develop a chazaka. So why over here, when it came to the ravens with the blood, is it not a chazaka? They've been doing this bloodletting in that same location for so long. So Amalei Rav Yosef said back to Abaye, Hani l'didi da'nina da'toi ki kutro beis akise damali. For me, who is such an istinus, having blood on the dates is as bad as smoke and as bad as a beis akise. That's what Rav Yosef said to Abaye. We happen to know this about Rav Yosef. Tosos points out in Dibra Maschil Lididi. Tosos writes, Pirushoy istinus k'namrin barvei pesachim. that there are three people whose lives are so miserable because they're so sensitive. Harachmanim vaharatchanim va'anine adas, people who are very sensitive and have tremendous rachmanas, and people who are easily angered, and people who are istinism. Anine adas means an istinus. Amar Rav Yosef, the kulu isnubi. I'm all of those things, right? So it could be that he was just being humble, because Rav Yosef is also known to be very humble. Altisli anavadi ka'ana. So, but it could be, but at least he self reports that he has all of those things, right? A lot of times, you know, you listen to someone, to a great person talk, and you get the impression that oh, they have all the regular foibles that that the rest of us have. But you know, there's such a thing of humility. As I point, that someone sent me a text today that they listened to the question and answer session, must be the mad with Rav Reisman yesterday. So someone said to me, oh, Rav Reisman's just like me. He doesn't really know Nach, he doesn't really know Shas well, and he struggles with Chazara. Okay, so you know what I mean? So he's just like me. No, he's not. Right? So that's just a sign of humility. But anyway, so these are the things that are intolerable. Tosfos raises another question that Rav Yosef didn't want to remove them because of the dam. It was because they were being mazik the tamarim, they were being mazik the dates. So what does that have to do with his being an istinus? So Tosfos says it could be that he has two answers. Number one, that the dam bothered him so much because of his aninus hadas, and nevertheless he was maskim to be sovelit if not for the fact that they were also being mazik his dates. The other possibility is that those orvim were eating the dam, and then they were putting the dam on the dates. That was the problem. That's what was gross about it, and that's why it was aninus hadas, which is why I read the Gemara in the first place. That's what I thought it meant. But anyway, so now we're moving on to the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Marchikin es hashovach min ha'ir chamishem amo. One has to distance a dovecote, a bird nest, from a city by 50 amos, because if the bird has easy access to the gardens in the city, it will go and it will steal people's food that's growing in their gardens. Similarly, if you want to have a shovach in your own property, you need to be 50 amos away from your neighbor's property in every direction, so that your birds don't go and eat from your neighbor's property. Rabbi Yudomer, base arba'as korin melo sheger hayona, that you have to be four kor away from the neighbor's property, which is the shear that a yona flies at one time. Vimlakacha, and if a person buys a property that has a shovach in it, and then afilu beis rova harei b'chaskaso, even if it's very close to the property line, it's only a beis rova, on the area in between you and your neighbor's property is only amount of space to plant a rova hakav. Nevertheless, you're b'chaskaso, you're allowed to keep it that way, because as we're going to see in the Gemara, we are toan in l'lokeach, that we assume that min hastam the guy that you bought it from already worked out a deal with the neighbors and he paid them off, or he made he ensured some sort of agreement with them, and therefore you assume that agreement is still binding. That agreement that you don't even know if it exists, but we make a taina that it must be that there was such an agreement. Okay, so says Gemara, Chamishim Amos Vesulo, is that really true? A bird only goes 50 amos, and that's why you only have to be marchik your shovach from the city by 50 amos? Ureminhi, but I'll ask you a stira. There is a Mishnah Maseches Baba Kama that says, Ein porsin is shavim liyonim, eli imkeno yirachuk minayish of shloshim ris. They have to be shloshim ris, which is four meal. Meal is 2,000 amos, so it's way more than 50 amos, right? So it's 8,000 amos, so we're off by a lot in terms of how far. Because the halacha is, you're not allowed to spread out these traps, these nets to catch birds within such a distance. So you see, apparently they fly up to 8,000 amos. How can you say that chamishim amos is enough? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye Mesha Chaiti Tuva Ukresai B'Chamish Mam Somalia. Oh, they'll fly plenty, but they're only going to steal food within the first 50 amos, because birds eat like birds, right? They fill up pretty quickly, so they'll only have 50 amos worth of food, and then they won't be hungry anymore, and after that they'll continue to fly. Umesha Shloshim Ris Besula. Wait, birds only fly Shloshim Ris, meaning four meal, 8,000 amos, not more than that. Vatanya, but then we have a Brisa, Ubi yishuv afilu meya mil lo yifros. That if you're in a yishuv, then even 100 mil, you can't spread out the nets because the birds are going to fly into them. So you see, even up to 100 mil, they'll fly. So Rav Yosef Amar b'yishuv krumin, that the Brice is talking about a place where there are a lot of vineyards. So since the bird is flying from one vineyard to the next, it's able to go a very great distance, even up until meya mil. But the Mishnah is talking about a case where it's not yishuv, and therefore the yonah is not able to go beyond 30 risk, because it doesn't have so many resting spots along the way. Rava Amar b'yishuv shovchim, that the Brice is talking about a place where there are a lot of other shovchim, so the yonah will fly from one shovach to the next. It will rest in each, you know, it's like stopping at a hotel each time along the way. It's got another nest to stop in and to recharge its batteries. But wait a second, if there are so many shovchim around, if Rava's correct, that there are so many shovchim in between here and there, so what are we saying, that you can't put out your net to catch the bird within the distance from the shovach? There are 1,000 other shovchim in between. You can't put out your net anyway because of those other shovchim. So says Mari Baisema Didei, maybe you own all of those others. Vibaisema the Knani, or maybe a non-Jew owns all of those other shovchim, and therefore you don't have to worry about it. Vibaisema the Hefker, or it could be that they're all Hefker, and therefore you don't have to worry about it. So the only shovach you need to worry about is this one that's so many mil away. So that's where we're giving these shurim, even though there are others that are closer. But none of the others that are closer pose a problem for you, because it's either yours, it's owned by a guy, or it's not owned by anybody. It's hefker. The Rashba points out that assuming like the shita that gezel akum is aser, which we do assume, you're still allowed to spread out the traps in a place where there are yonim that belong to goyim in the area, because it's not really gezel on a daraisa level even from a Jew. It's only the chachamim were only gozer that it's gezel mepnei darkei shalom. So it's not real gezel. So gezel akum is aser, that's if it's real gezel. But that which the chachamim made a takana about ben adam lechaveru, about how to do things in the most dignified, the most peaceful way, maybe they were not misaking that when it came to interacting with Nachrim. The Ritva adds that even the goyim themselves are not makbid about it, meaning enochinami, whatever's mepnei darkei shalom, you probably have to do for Nachrim as well, provided that that's the law among the Nachrim. But if the Nachrim don't view this as gezel, they think that it's perfectly fine, so then you're allowed to take advantage of that as well. Okay, says the Gemara Vayta, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beis Arbaz Kor. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to be marchik 4 kor, which is the distance that a yonah can travel. But if you buy an existing shovach that's in a property, even a base rova is b'cheskaso. So the Mishnah seems to say, yeah, you can keep it the way it is, even though it doesn't seem to meet the zoning standards. So Amar Papa Vitei Merazvid Zil Samaris Ton Lokech V'Ton Liorish. This is a raya to the concept that we make a taina on behalf of a lokech and on behalf of a yoresh. The Tosos points out in Dibra Maskul Yoresh that Razvid does not mean to say that we can learn from our Mishnah about a yoresh. The Mishnah said nothing about a yoresh. The Mishnah only spoke about a lokeach. It just means to say we see from here a toan and a lokeach, and in a similar way to the way that we are toan in the yoresh. Why do I need to be told both things, that you're toan for lokeach and for yoresh? Isn't obvious that if you could make a tain on behalf of one of them, you make a tain on behalf of the other one, meaning they're both in the same position. They're both people that are not expected to know the whole history of what they have in their possession currently. A lokeach because he just bought it, and a yoresh because he just inherited it. So why would I think that there's any difference from one to the other? So the Chassam Sofer explains that mitzad echad, there's more of a svara to be make a tain on behalf of a yoresh because he doesn't know anything about his father's business dealings. His father just dropped dead suddenly. He doesn't know any of his passwords. He doesn't know anything. He had nothing to do with his father's business. Whereas a lokeach, you do some research before you buy something. So he probably has some knowledge of what's going on. And mitzad sheni, there's more of a reason to assume that you'll make a tainer for lokeach, because we have a right to assume that he didn't throw away his money for nothing. He probably did the research, and he probably saw that it was all on the up and up. Whereas a yoresh, I don't know what the father was up to. He could have been up to a lot of no good. It could be the whole thing was illegal to begin with. Maybe we shouldn't be making tainas for the father. Okay, so that's the concept on lokech. Derech and Tonin Liyorish. Now we have, we're going to see the whole third parak of this the Masechta is about Cheskas Gimel Shanim, right? The concept of Cheskas Habatim. So Cheskas Habatim means that if a person is in a property and someone else comes and says, hey, that's my property, if you have a shtar, that's wonderful. But if you don't have a shtar that proves that it's your property, so then if you've been there for 3 years, you have a Cheskas Gimel Shanim, you're believed to say that it's yours. But the halacha is that a chazaka she'ein imataina is not a chazaka. I mean, you can't say, what do you mean it's your property? I've been living here for a year and a half. Yeah, but why have you lived? Because it was empty, so I moved in. Or because there was someone here, I punched him in the face, he left, and now I'm living here. That's not a taina. You have to have a taina. It was given to me as a matana. I bought it. You have to have some taina of ownership. So so based on that, the Gemara asks, why do I need to learn from our Mishnah that Beis Din is Toed for Yoresh, Yoresh Tanina? A Yoresh, we already know that we make a taina from Abamish from Yerusha, Eino Tzarech Taina. That if a person says, I yarshed it from my father, he doesn't need a further taina, meaning we can't ask him, well, how did your father become the owner of it? Did he buy it? Did someone give it to him as a matana? There's a marakam of it. No, we make a taina for the Yoresh. The Yoresh can just say, I'm a Yoresh, I don't know anything further, and that's good enough. So says Malokeh Shrichle. The chiddush of our Mishnah is not that we're towing the Yoresh in a chinami. We know that from Cheskas Habatim. The chiddush of our Mishnah is that we make a taina for Lokeach. Well, Lokeach Nami Tanina. We already know that we make a taina for Lokeach as well, because it says Lokachatzer Uba Zizin Vegezus Traos. If a person buys a chatzer and there are these tiny beams and larger beams that protrude from the house into a Rosh Hasharabim, and it's causing it's obstructing the passage in the Rosh Hasharabim. You're allowed to keep it. You don't have to cut those beams out of the way, because Beis Din will make a taina on behalf of the lokeach that probably the mocher already took care of it by he probably owned all the way up until where the beams go. He probably moved in the property line, so he finished his house 5 feet in, and the beam stuck out 5 feet, but it was all on his own property. So we can make that taina on his behalf, and that's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah later on, a Daf Samach. So why do I need our Mishnah to tell me this din of Ton Lokech? Says Mer Tzricha. The Mishnah has to tell me Ton Lokech, both in our din about the birds and in the Mishnah about the Zizim V'Gzustros, the beams that are protruding into the Rosh Hashanah. The Yashmin and Hasam, if it only would have told me over there, Gabi Rosh Hashanah Rabim, Deimer Konis Tok Shalohu, because there's a very reasonable taina you could have that probably he owned further into where what is now thought of as Rosh Hashanah Rabim. He was probably, he probably moved his property line back and then had the beams stick out a little further. Inami Achule Achul B'nei Rosh Hashanah Gabi, or we can assume that the B'nai Rosh Hashanah more mochel on this Nezek, and it's mistaver to say that he did it behetu, because otherwise, how could you get away with it, right? You have all the Rabbim, all the passers-by, and the Rosh Hashanah, it's bothering them. He never would have gotten away with it unless he did it behetu. They never would have let him do such a thing. Aval hach, but in our Mishnah, where he has there's no interaction with the Rabbim, it's with the Yachid, who has a field that happens to be near his Shodach. So it could be that the Yachid wanted to prevent him, but maybe we're not going to make a taina for him because maybe the yachid simply didn't have the wherewithal or the guts to prevent him from doing this, but maybe he never had the right to put this there. And if it only would have told me we make a taina for a lokech in the case of the bird near the property line, the kibbutz yachid who aim a piece of ice, that since it's just about one neighbor, so probably you could negotiate with one person, you can negotiate with one neighbor and calm him down and get him comfortable with the idea. Or the guy was probably mochel because it's only one person's mechila that you need. Aval rabim, but when it comes to having your beams protrude out into the Rosh Hashanah rabim, man payes, who is he going to be mefayes to allow this to happen? Uman shavik, who's going to be mochel and let it go on? Say malo. So I would think that Beis Din cannot make a taina for him because there's a very low likelihood that he actually did this beheter. So tzricha, that's why the Mishnah has to tell me that we're torn in the lokeach, In both cases, both when you're dealing with the Rabbim on the other side of the Din Torah and when you're dealing with the Yachid on the other side of the Din Torah. Now we have said in the Mishnah, Reu b'cheskaso, that if you purchase that property and there's a Shovach already in that property, it's b'cheskaso, the Kohen does not have to remove that that Shovach because even though it's very close to the property line. So ask the Gemara, why are you allowed to leave it there? V'amar Nachman Barvua, Ein Chazaka l'nizakin, like we said earlier in the daf, there's no Chazaka to doing damage. So how can you say, oh, it's always been here, so I'm allowed to leave it here? Yeah, but your birds are eating your neighbor's produce that's growing in his garden, in his field. So that's not okay, the fact that you're having Nezikin, the fact that Nezikin has been going on for so long, that does not excuse Nezikin continuing to go on for so long. So Mari Amar B'Kutra, Razud Amar B'Sakise. So remember, we already said that in Chazak Nezikin only applies to the most severe forms of Nezikin, but lesser forms like smoke and Besakise, but lesser forms of Nezikin, we do assume that there will be a Chazaka for Nezikin. Okay, so now we turn the page, new Mishnah on the top of Chaf Gimel and Beis, and this Mishnah is going to begin the Sugya of Rov V'Karov. So the Mishnah talks about a bird that's found in Rosh Hashrabim, right near a whole bunch of bird nests. So the Mishnah is not really about Harchakas Nezikin, right? Meaning this whole Mishnah doesn't really belong in Bab Basra. This is a Mishnah, the Ritva points out, that belongs in Bab Metzia, belongs in Eila Metzias, because he found a bird you want to know who it belongs to. So it's really an Eila Metzias Mishnah, but once we're talking about nests, so this Mishnah snuck its way in here as well. So Nipal, Nimtzum B'tol Chamishamama, if you have a bird nest that's found within 50 amos of a, you have a bird that you found rather within 50 amos of a nest, Hareu Shel Bala Shovach, oh good, so you know it belongs to that Bala Shovach, to the guy that owns the nest. If you found it more than 50 amos away, then you could assume it came from somewhere else, and therefore you're allowed to keep it because there's no simin, so you don't have to give it back to the original bailim. You don't assume it came from the closest shovach. You assume it came from the rov ha'olam, which is from some other shovach. So the Tosus points out, wait a second, in holchin mam nachar rov, we have a klal in halacha. You're not supposed to follow rov. So he says, no, that's only when the person is muchsak in the mamon keneged the rov. So then you can't be motzi mamon from the chazaka using a rov. But over here, the Bala Shovach is not muchsak in this bird. This bird was found nowhere near the Shovach. He's not holding on to it. So you're not being motzi anything. So then you could follow the rov to be allowed to keep it yourself for finders keepers. You can follow the rov. So you're allowed to keep it yourself. The reason you don't have to return it is because you could assume it fell from Ovrei Drachim, and either there's no simin, or the Ovrei Drachim are probably Gayim, and therefore there's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda when it comes to a Nachri, right? Something like that. Different Rishonim say different things. Nimsa bin Shnei Shovchos, if you find the bird in between two nests, Karav Lezeh Shalom, Karav Lezeh Shalom. You look at which one it's closer to. Mechzal Mechza, if it's not closer to either one more than the other, Shneim Yachloku. Then they both split it. It's Mamun Mutl B'Safek, and Mamun Mutl B'Safek, we will say Cholkin. Meaning, normally you'd say Amotzi Mechavero Lavraya, but like we said, there is no Mechzuk over here, so there's no Amotzi Mechavero, and therefore we resort to Mamun Mutl B'Safek Cholkin. So I'm Rabbi Chanina. Rov, the Karav Holchnach Rov. Ah, Rabbi Chanina puts a stake in the ground. He makes a statement that when you have two ways of being mevarer, what something is, or where something belongs, who something belongs to, one is the rov and the other is the karov. There's statistics and there's and there's proximity. So rov is more valuable, more of a machria than karov is. So we always prefer rov over karov, and that's how we're machria the suffix, that which came from the rov is what we follow. Tosfos raises the question, what's the chiddush? That's a brisa mefureshes in Maseches Ksuvos. That if you find basar bi'ir, you find meat in a city, and this is a famous gemara, the famous brisa, teisha chanuyas mochos basar shchuto, v'achas mochares basar nevela, and you found meat. Right, so what do we assume? We assume that you go basar the rov, called the parish, meruba parish. How come the Gemara never said, the Brisa never said, well, if it's right outside the treifa butcher shop and it's a greater distance from the kosher shops, so maybe we should follow the karav. Elamai, because you don't, because it's obvious you don't follow the karav. So you see clearly that we follow rov. So the Re suggests that it could be we cannot prove anything from the Braisa, because the Braisa might be talking about where it's equidistant from everything. And if since you can make such new kimta in the Braisa, we need a clearer statement. So that's why Rabbi Chanina makes a much clearer statement that Rov Karov Holchan Acharov V'Afukav Diru B'Doraisa V'Kor V'Doraisa, even though both of these concepts are derived from the Torah itself, meaning we have Acharav Latos as a pasuk in the Torah, and we also know from Egla Rufa that we follow the Karov, because V'Hayah Irak Krova Elecholol is the city that has to bring the Egla Rufa Afilu Hachi Ruba Adif. So even though we see that they're both Machriim on a Doraisa level, they're both indicators on a Doraisa level, but the more powerful indicator is Rov. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us how Rabbi Chanina knew that, so the Ritva says, Efshad de Gemara Gamirla. He must have had a tradition like this, because all we're told is that there are two psukim, one for Rov, one for Karov. Rabbi Chanina just pops up and says, oh, by the way, Rov wins. So Shiltas Rav Chaigon writes that the Svara is that Rov is much more Shchiach than Karov. Unclear exactly what that means, meaning more shchiach that's where it came from. Meaning that's a svara, that Rov is more of a machria than Karov? Okay, not clear. So anyway, so says Gemara, let's try to bring rayas one way or the other. So raya number one, Masiv Rabbi Zeira. The pasuk says about the dead body that's found in between two cities, and you do not know who murdered the person, so the Ziknei Ir have to go and measure the Ir HaKrova, whatever is the closest city, and that's the one that brings Negla Rufa. So it says, Vahaya Ir HaKrova LeChalol, so they go take a Negla Rufa, etc. So there's a suffix where the Rotzeach came from. But don't you see that we're going to assume the closest city is the one that's responsible for the Negla Rufa, even though there may be another city that has more of a population, a higher population density, or a higher population in general than this city. So there's a Rove against it, and we're still following the Karov. So there's a Raya that Karov beats Rove against Rabbi Chanina. Says Rabbi Delaka, no, the Pasuk might be talking about that there is no other city that's bigger. All the cities in the vicinity are the same exact size. They all have the population, the same exact population, and therefore we have to be told that it came from the closest city. But in Achinami, if you had a more distant city that was much larger than the city, maybe in Achinami we would follow the Rove. Tosas Rid writes, if there is a larger city that's not as close, the closer city would no longer mean what the Gemara is saying now is the closest city does not bring the Egla Rufa. So what happens? Who does bring the Egla? Does anybody? So Tos Rit says closest city doesn't bring the Egla Rufa because you got to follow the Rove. But the bigger city doesn't bring an Egla Rufa because there's no din of a big city bringing an Egla Rufa. The Torah says that the closest city brings Egla Rufa. So if the closest city can't, so nobody does. So there is no Egla Rufa. The Rambam says not that way. The Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach says, Avalim hayu elu sheberuchoka merubin alan sheakrova mimena holchen acharov merubin mevina Egla. That the city with the Rove, meaning the din is not that the closest city brings Egla Rufa. The din is the city that this mace most likely came from brings the Egla Rufa. It happens to be that when there is no Rove, the city it most likely came from is the closest one. When there is a Rove, the city it most likely came from is the Rove, is the city with the Rove. So anyway, that is Raya number one. So now the Gemara says, even if there is no large city in the vicinity, but V'lezel Basar Rubi Di Alma, there's always a Rove, because there's the Rove of the whole rest of the world that Klape, this one small city, right here in the neighborhood. So it says, "Mara b'yosheves b'naharim." We're talking about that you found the dead body between mountains where people would not pass through unless they're coming from one of these nearby cities. So therefore, we have to assume that it did not come from Ruba di Alma. So if the only nearby cities, there are only two or three nearby cities, and they're all the same size, so you go with the Karov. But in Ochinami, if there were a Rove, whether it be a local Rove or whether it be a Ruba di Alma that's at least realistic, then you would follow the Ruba di Alma, or you'd follow that Rove. Says Gemara now, Raya number two, Tana, and it said in our Mishnah, Nipal and Imtzum Tocha Mishamama, if you find a bird within 50 Amos, Harehu Shel Balashovach, it belongs to the owner of the local nest. Sounds like even though there may be more distant nests that have many, many more birds and that are much larger. So don't you see that we're following the karov against the rov? Says Gemara, bedalaka. Again, we make a kimta that there is no more distant nest that has that's larger. Everything, all the nests are the same size, and therefore you go with the karov. But then why does the seifa say that if you find it more than 50 amos away, you're allowed to keep it? Vidaleka, if there is no other nest, then it had to have come from this nest. So if it had to have come from this nest, why would we say that? Meaning, where does the 50 amma idea come from? Whatever's closest, that should be it. That should be the end of the story. So it says, we're talking about a case of a bird that's not yet able to fly. It's hopping around. So we know that that a hopping bird doesn't hop more than 50 amos. It's not able to hop further than that. So if I find a bird within 50 amos of the nest, and it's a hopping bird, it's not a flying bird, so then I can assume it came from that nest. But if it's more than 50 amos away, it didn't hop that far, because birds don't hop that far. But it didn't fly, because it can't fly. Yeah, so someone was passing by here and dropped it. Once I know that someone was passing by here and dropped it, I have no reason to assume that it came from this nest. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah says, wait a second, 50 amos, that's the number? Raglo achas betoch hamishamama, raglo achas chutz mechamishamama, mahu. What would you say if it had one leg within the 50 amos and one leg outside of the 50 amos? What would the din be? Would you say that it's still considered a medada that can't go that far? And that it's still considered a medada that's still within the 50 amos and it would belong to the owner of the nest? Or would you say, no, it's got one leg over the line, one leg over the line, it wouldn't be able to go that far? So, va'aldoh, Afkul Rabbi Yirmiyah Beit Midrash. For asking such a shayla, they threw Rabbi Yirmiyah out of the Beis Midrash. I've heard Rabbi Rimon say over this Gemara a lot of times, he always uses the word chuck. They chucked Rabbi Yirmiyah from the Beis Midrash because of that comment. Because he was bothering them with these shaylas. Rashi says, so what? He said, Shayy Matriach Aleim. He was being matriach them with these shaylas, presumably shaylas that are not common. Tosos and Dibra Maskel Al Da of Kul Rabbi Yirmiyah Beit Midrash says, "Ain the farish mishum debayi milsad lo shchicha klal." Deich Yisrami de raglachas tocha mishum raglachas chuscha mishum tzimtzum. It's not because he was asking these, very unlikely cases, which when Tosos says that, it means he probably learned Rashi that way, that he was being matriach with cases that are very unlikely. Dashkachon de masis nabi ke gavnari de ktoni machzal machziach loku. That we do find that the Mishnah talks about very unlikely cases. We just had. Now you have a bird that's exactly 50% of the way, exactly halfway between two nests. How often does that happen? So that can't be why they throw him out of the basement. We always, when we have halachic discussions, talk about things that are not very common. So v'nir l'rabbeinu tam, d'mishum hachi afku, mishum d'medada ina medada klal, yosem mechamishum amma, filu rag lachas, kol mitzchol mekenu. It's because he was questioning the veracity or how accurate or correct or how far we go with the shiurim that the Chum gave. Here the Chum gave a shiur that's 50 amos. So what he was really asking is, come on, 50 amos in an inch? 50 amos in an inch? So, yeah, 50 amos in an inch. It can't hop. Because the Chum said it's 50 amos, then it's 50 amos. So that's what he was really questioning, the whole concept of the shiurei chachamim. And once the Chum give a shiur, you assume that that's the shiur and that's it. Meaning halacha is a discipline of precision. And an inch makes a difference. It's a game of inches, as they say, right? And that inch makes a difference. So Tashma, let's try one more raya. So raya number three, nimtza bein shnei shofchos, karav lezeh shelo, karav lezeh shelo. If you find it in between two shofchos, whichever one's closer to is the rightful owner. The alpha gavdechad minayim nafesh mechavrei. Sounds like even though one of them might have more, so it might have a rov, hachamai skin and shashnei and shavin. Nah, there's no rov. They're both exactly the same size. Says Gemara, but there's no rov maybe in one over the other, but v'leza basaru b'di alma. But don't you still have the rov of the world, meaning the rov of the other shofchon in the world should be machriya, that it doesn't belong to either one of these. Says Gemara, hachamai askinan b'shevil shel kramim. Now we're talking in the path of a vineyard where it would not have seen, it would not have been able to get here from the Ruba di Alma. De me'isa de me'alma asi, because if it were in fact true that it came from a distant location, kiven dimidade lo matzi asi. Since it's only hopping, it would not be, and it can't fly yet, so it would not be able to get here, because we have a rule to call dimidade v'hadr chazi le'likine midade. Not only does a bird not hop more than 50 amos, a bird does not hop beyond where it's able to see its home base. So if it could still see its home, it will hop. But v'lo lo midade, if it's not going to be able to see the original kan, it's not going to continue to hop. So can't be that this bird got here from someone else, from somewhere else into this Shvil HaKramim, because the Kramim themselves, the vines themselves, would have blocked its view if it was hopping along, and if they blocked its view, it would have stopped hopping. So that's how Rashi and Tosos at least read this Gemara, that's what we're saying, that's as far as it's going to hop. Okay, so that's from tomorrow. We'll pick up with the fourth Raya in the Sugya of Rov, Vikarov, tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.